Hello and welcome to Podcast on Fire. I'm your host, Stuart Sutherland, and joining me tonight, the A-Train.
Oh, it's changed.
I need to think other like nicknames that I could have. The A. We've got Easy A, A-Train, and that's like a dead reference itself. That's like...
A-Bomb.
Well...
The Atom Bomb. A-Bomb, motherfucker.
Oh, edit that out and I can use it in future.
Alright. Well, there you go.
It's all we're saved for another week. Okay, another episode. Tonight's episode, we are focusing on Legend of the Fist, Return of Chen Zhen from 2010. But before that, we'll be discussing our last movies watched. Andy?
Yes, Stuart?
What was your last movie watched?
I can't quite remember. I might need to refresh my memory by telling me about yours.
Oh, you cunt.
Holy fuck you.
Well, last night we watched Safe.
Safe?
Yes. With the Stath. Jason Statham.
Right. I'll feel you.
It was alright. It was very gun heavy. Lot, like, feels like more than a John Woo movie amount of bullets.
Aye.
And, like, just countless amount of police officers were really good at catching them.
Like, I was pictured them now.
They're just running into shot and then getting drilled with bullets and then more running to catch the others that it's going to miss. And it's essentially the story of like the triads have adopted this schoolgirl who's basically a genius, like her counting numbers, she's this basically human fucking calculator, is that like a really big deal to the triads.
Right.
And then I think it's the Russian mob and crooked police officers all get into the picture trying to get hold of this girl.
Uh-huh.
But her only aid comes in form of ex-cage fighter Jason Statham, a man that had his life ruined by the Russian mob for not, like, going down in a fight.
So what does this wee bitch do?
She basically, in her head, has a combination to a safe, and everyone wants the combination.
How did she get a fucking combination?
Well, the triads told it to her.
Oh, right.
Whilst going from one location to another, they get hijacked by the Russian mob, and then the cops get in, and Jason Statham just happens to be, well, in the subway, then he notices the trouble, so he runs and dives off the platform onto the subway train and gets in and starts killing people, like, starts knocking out the Russian mob.
Fucking idiot.
Basically, now he has to, like, babysit this Chinese girl.
Yeah. Is it trying to have sex with her?
No, it's like a 5-year-old, like a 10-year-old schoolgirl.
Oh, right, right. I thought you were thinking like 18.
No.
Just the right age for Jason.
No.
I'm going to fucking body
press
that bitch
up. Stop talking numbers. Or count these and just takes his shirt off. But it was decent. It was on Netflix, so it's like, it was free. Well,
it's $5.99.
Aye, it's part of this fucking package, and like, it's fine. So,
yeah,
it was fairly straightforward, nothing mind-blowing. I think it's supposed to be kind of, like, before seeing it, a lot of folk were kind of pointing out it's a bit better than, like, the monthly Jason Statham movie that comes out. Like, how we have The Mechanic, and Killer Elite.
The Transporters.
His Transporter movies. What was the one that was in London? It was like him fighting gangs. Basically, the police were useless, so he was taking on gangs himself. And I think it was a cop. A cop killer type
crank.
Of thing. No, I wasn't a crank.
I'm just trying to think of names.
There's Jason Statham on Red Bull.
I know.
But
oh, with crank too.
Not any better.
More crank than you could bargain for.
Well, I think if they were going to do Crank 3, was it not by the end of the second movie he was like a toasted mummy or something?
Like, I just mind, he should have died at the end of the first five. Should have died halfway through the second lived.
Mm-hmm.
Did he not end up just being like a talking head off of Futurama? Oh no, that was the main bad guy.
Right.
He was a talking head off of Futurama.
But, I think there's like a fire or an explosion. I just remember like just a burnt skin and his eyes opening at the end or something. And like, charred corpse comes to life.
Right. Oh, it doesn't die, does it?
Let's wrap it in bandages and give it a Red Bull. So that was my last movie. What about you?
Unfortunately, yeah, it was G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra. I keep wanting to say Phoenix, but Cobra. It was alright. But it made me cry inside a wee bit, how bad it was some bits.
It's not a movie of high praise.
The cast wasn't even too bad either. Had some good fuck in it.
Because you've got C-Tates.
C-Tates.
And Damon Wayans.
The fucking idiot
Marlon
one. The idiot one for fucking Scary Movie.
Okay, aye.
He just suddenly became buff and least walked about with no clothes on.
I did steroids for 3 months.
Yeah. Who else was in it? Your Korean crush.
the Korean crush. Yeah. Lee Byung-hun.
Yeah. Sienna Miller. A waste of time. Shouldn't have been in it. Jason Gordon-Levitt.
That's his unsuccessful twin.
He's just like, he plays like a fucking stage villain.
Right.
He's like, he should be in a fucking pantomime. He's like running about like waiting on folks saying, no, he's behind you and all that shit.
I guess he wasn't really at his top then, was he? Like,
no.
There was some movies like,
I think that's Inception, before Inception, yeah.
Aye, that was sort of films that kind of made him bigger.
Fucking thing with him.
Aye.
And who's that guy? Kind of guy that was Doctor Who before David Tennant.
Christopher Eccleston?
Aye, him.
Aye.
Got the worst fucking Scottish accent I've heard in my life.
Oh.
He fucking insulted me right off the bat with his voice. This is wrong.
I had like a similar thing with Safe, because the night before we watched Snatch, so that was like proper Jason Statham, like Cockney geezer, and then it cuts to Safe where he's like American Cockney geezer. Like, American British. It's like,
yeah, he's got the American twang, but he just can't get rid of
his voice. He's forcing his words.
Yeah. Right, this story, it's all about, they've invented these motherfucking nano bites.
Motherfucking nano bites.
They're like wee tiny bugs that eat anything.
Right.
And the main, what you think at the start, the main bad guy, this fucking McDougal, I don't even care his name. Fucking some fucking token Scottish name guy.
Is he wearing a kilt?
No, right at the start, it's got like this Scottish guy getting his face melted by a metal mask. He's like, oh, he's my ancestor. All this shit. And then,
Highlander. It could only be one.
That's what it looked like at the start. My copy, I was watching. I had two fucking audios. I sat watching for 10 minutes in Russian. It was the worst thing ever. I'm thinking, oh fuck, where did they go start talking English? Like, they do put subtitles on this. I'm sitting waiting on the English kit again, then Tatum turns up, he's still talking Russian.
Oh shit.
Right, these fucking nanobites, he's like used the government's money to make them. And then he's going to get his crew to steal them back so he can use them to blow the world up. Or the Eiffel Tower, just to start with.
Aye.
And then fucking Tatum and his crew are fucking transporting the missiles. He gets ambushed. Obviously, he's the one who lives. He's like running through the woods avoiding bullets.
Like, is that like where they're sort of running, jumping through buses, and it's just like two CGI guys?
No. That's in the middle. This is at the start. He's like just a normal soldier at this point. And there's all these fucking big death soldiers coming in here. Big bastard and blue bullets coming in and disintegrate cunts. But he's no interested. I need that suitcase. Okay. And he ends up finding out that the woman, Sienna Miller, his fucking ex-bird that he shagged, that he was going to get married to, his brothers were Justin fucking Gordon Levitt, who gets fucking malkied in a building. And he felt guilty about it, so he didn't go and see her again after it. Because it was his fault, basically. It's fucking deep. I'm going to fucking story plus.
The world revolves around C-Tates.
Yeah. But then, anyway, they get into the fucking G.I. Joes, so this big black cunt. The ninja, I'm not talking about the actual African-American people. Just this big bastard,
big
giant
black
ninja
cunt.
He doesn't speak a word of English, but a word of anything. And it goes into his backstory, where it's him as a wee child fighting the main bad guy off of Tropic Thunder, can ask Sherpa Jack, the fucking like drug lord, young bloody drug lord. Aye. He's fucking young Lee Hun fucking. I'm sorry. Cut the shit. I can't say fuck's names. It's got three parts. I just can't say it. Fucking just shut the names to two fucking names, please. Fucking Hung.
Andy can't handle the three, Barrel.
Give me an Hung. This fucking youngster man. The young him is that guy. Find it that they were like.
That is sounds laughing.
Shut up. Try to tell stories here. The fucking young fucking black ninja. He's named Snake Eyes for some reason. I thought he was going to be like the main bad guy because it's Cobra. But young him breaks into a kitchen. Young fucking Hung. Does they like the fact that he's broken?
That's fucking porn. Young and fucking Hung.
He doesn't like the fact that this young fucking like homeless white boy in Tokyo of all places is just running about Tokyo streets like fighting rats for food.
fighting rats.
He just grabs one and throws it at a wall because there's a bit of chicken in the fucking bucket.
Alright, I was like, he should be using the rats as food.
But then the fucking like young Hung's fucking master takes him in. Young Hung hates it. Years go by where the fucking the hatred grows.
He should be number one, but
there's a montage of the fucking Young Hung kicking fuck at this white guy all the time. White guy finally gets the better of him, and the master gives him praise where he's never gave praise to Hung at all.
Right.
A couple of minutes later, master's got a big bastard sword on his back, and now he fucking Hung's legging it across the fields. I wonder what happened there. And then he comes back, they fucking hate each other. Young fucking old Hung, he's fucking like the most bitching ass assassin ever. Mm-hmm. He's killing cunts. They end up fucking getting
he's struggling to keep his clothes on as well.
Until the end where the black ninja cuts his clothes off.
Oh.
Like slicing them that much that there's just no material left. But then fucking they get the missiles. Or shit happens. They end up having to take Joe's end up taking out the fucking missiles. That's like the detail. That's just boring.
Yeah,
there's no detail to it until they're like getting their suits.
Mm-hmm.
And they just somehow can run fast as fuck. They're chasing after it.
They turn into like Ninja Turtles.
And they start like slow motion fucking rolls through buses and trains and fucking that fucking black ninja gets on my tits.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging underneath a car. What's wrong? He's not got a fucking suit like that. He could just fucking pick the car up and fucking throw it in a wall or something. No, I'll just hang. But then, they've got a fucking base under the fucking... Well, the good guy's got a base under the Sahara Desert.
Right.
I don't even know the Sahara. I don't know if that's in Egypt or not. Then the bad guy's got a fucking base under the polar ice caps. Bad place. This didn't look right. And then there was the fight where
there should be Santa's, but no, it's the North.
Under the water, Santa. He'll be fucking dead. You just see a skeleton with a fucking red hat on it.
Maybe it's a submarine. painted like a candy cane.
No, but it's like when G.I. Joe's gone for the missiles back in this fucking underwater thing, they zoom out to see all the ships. Looks like a sperm fight. Looks like good sperm versus bad sperm just fleeing at each other. It's like, they fucking like kind of roll around each other.
It ends up babies.
That's what I thought was going to happen. Then it comes to all the final, individual final fights.
Mm-hmm.
Tatum fights fucking his ex, girlfriend, wifey woman, and Gordon Levitt's.
Mm-hmm.
Black Ninja, White Ninja, Black Ninja versus fucking Old Hung.
Right.
They fucking have a wee battle. Old Hung gets slashed to fuck.
Right.
And somehow turns into Star Wars, kind of the battle between Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, slashes him, and he falls off a big high platform and disappears. Mm-hmm. Exact same thing happens. He falls off a big high platform, falls into water, where they're underground, but there's a fucking water lake at the bottom of this fucking They're under the water, but they've got a lake inside under the water. He falls into that lake and disappears. Never see him again.
Manages to swim into a sequel.
Well, basically, that's what I think. The Anki fucking cryogenically froze. And fucking hunkiness. But then they end up blowing all the missiles up, hunky-dory, happy. Credits come up. You find out Gordon Levitt's isn't he the mad scientist sidekick of the Scottish guy. He's controlling the Scottish guy all along. Puts on this weird fucking see-through helmet. Melts the Scottish guy's face so it looks like it's a big metal head. Get captured. And that's it.
Hmm.
So the start of the film's a little better than the end.
Right.
Well, definitely the middle, anyway.
Aye.
Bad CGI.
I guess you and Nick. So, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Who's his name?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I thought you said Jason. I was going to say, fuck, he's got an idea, yeah.
Joe Golev.
Aye. Scott Levitt.
So he's not, he doesn't die, he's...
Levitt's? He is the head of the Cobra.
Aye. So, hey. Think he went into the sequel with The Rock? Or is he too high profile now?
Levitt's, he has to be. He's like the main bad guy that they're fighting against.
I reckon.
Let's see who's credited, isn't it? He has to be, though, because he's the fucking main bad guy.
It might be like, oh, I'm the next Batman, fuck you.
You're the next nothing. You're too skinny to be Batman. What's the second one called? Revelations or something? Retaliations. The Rock, Tatum, who? Jonathan Pryce, oh aye, that's the president. Aye, there's a fucking kid in The Mummy.
The movie?
No, the character in the movie, The Mummy. The actual Billy guy Zane? Who's shagging, no, that's not Billy Zane.
I thought he was The Mummy.
He was in The Mummy. There's a North South African guy that was The Mummy.
Possibly, I thought it was just Billy Zane.
I'll find him.
Or the lead
Arnold fucking Arnold Vosloo. Does it know him? Is he no fucking? I thought he was the mummy.
That is the mummy.
You motherfucker! How skilled you? Him. He has the ability to change his face, and he becomes a president.
Okay.
Kills a president. Well, I think he kills him. Should kill him. Aye, right. What else? I was past the description of the fucking. What was I saying?
We were just wanted to know. Oi, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Seeing this fucker, I don't think so, because he would have been higher than fucking.
Well, no, they might young. Try and keep them at the bottom, just so maybe. Reveal at the end.
Or maybe he's just got a cameo, or he's just a voice or something. Who the fuck's RZA?
There is a.
Aye, Blind Master.
The Man with Iron Fists.
Was that motherfucker?
Yep.
Come on. There's so many people. Fucking billions of cunts in this. There's loads of Asians.
Soldier number two. Soldier number three.
North Korean leader. Augusta Chow. No. It's not. It's Augustus Chow.
Augustus Gloop.
Raj Decker. No, he's not fucking in this fucking thing. I'll just wish that'd be 10 minutes.
We'll edit him to 5.
Good. Who the fuck's he? Aaron V. Williamson.
is it just profile just
abs? No, I just thought he was fucking. It's just unnecessary fucking photo.
He needs a drug test.
He fucking had one. Him failed.
He needs
that's why he's
test.
Uncredited. It must be all about North Korea. There's shitloads of North Korean motherfuckers in this. Mm-hmm. But he's not in it, right?
Okay, so maybe Japanese Lee Byung-hun dies and Korean Lee Byung-hun rises in the sequel?
Would you not say that? No, you fucking scroll all the way up to the top. It took 10 minutes to get to the bottom.
Oh no, he's Storm. No. Storm.
Storm Shadow. He's still playing the same
character. He's still playing the same character.
Aye. Why is he credited third? It's Dwayne Johnson, Jonathan Pryce, fucking Hungy Bung Lee.
Hungy Buns.
And then I suppose he's the only fucking 2-3 cunts that you can. Mm-hmm. Channing Tatum's like 6th. I think he must get killed.
I think he's cameo appearance. Like, you could tell in the trailer that first attack on their base is like, right, he doesn't last.
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously like the minute he steps out of his fucking super soldier suit, a missile hits him or something.
Damn right. I hope it hit him in the fucking stains.
Because if they hit him in the abs, it would just bounce off him.
His only weakness is his fucking tiny, fucking steroid ridden balls.
But, so.
No. Then I suggest it. Only watch it if you really want to watch a sitting, because you really need to kid you some fuck out.
Aye.
It's like, I take it that you watch a sitting and just really find out, oh no, the prison is fucking evil as fuck.
I'm just watching it going, where's Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No, because if you're not watching the first thing, you're never kidding he was in the first thing, so they talk shit.
Alright.
No, but I think it's supposed to start right away. Because it's like the president's fucking outlawed the Jaws.
As the first one finishes, the second one begins.
Because it's all about the president outlaws, like G.I. Joe's meeting them fucking public enemy number one and all.
Mm-hmm.
I think. That's a guess.
That'll do.
Yeah.
So, go on to our main movie now.
I think so. I've talked too much.
Bow.
Was that your fucking... That's fucking the worst porn noise ever.
Who says it's for porn? So, the main film for discussion is Legend of the Fist, The Return of Chen's End from 2010, directed by Andrew Lau. The plot is 7 years after the apparent death of Chen Zhen, who was shot after discovering who was responsible for his teacher's death, Hao Yunjai, in a Japanese-occupied Shanghai. A mysterious stranger arrives from overseas to befriend a local mafia boss. That man is a disguised Chen Zhen, who intends to infiltrate the mob when they form an alliance with the Japanese. Disguising himself as a caped fighter by night, Chen intends to take out everyone involved as well as get his hands on an assassination list prepared by the Japanese.
One, he has no cape. That pissed me off.
What, as his masked thing? Well,
wouldn't they just say a masked vigilante?
Aye.
Instead of a caped crusader.
Did it say caped crusader on what I just read?
No.
So,
did it say crusader again?
You're just angry that there wasn't a cape. It wasn't full-on superhero movie.
Yeah.
But, so yes, basically, Donnie Yen stars as Chen Zhen.
What's his fake name? Because I just could not pronounce
it. It was Chi Tan Yun.
Oh, Chi Tan Yun.
Aye. So... And that was with like the QI is the Chi, and then a Tian was like TIAN, and then just Yun. So I altogether was like cheating Yun.
That's the easy way you mind it, he's a cheating bastard at poker.
Oh no, he could just talk. Well, no, let's not discuss the gambling of the movie. No, I believe he had threes. But it was a case of. Like, this is an apparent sequel to Legend... No. See, that was what confused me at first. Like, there was a Legend of the Fist.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's Fist of Legend. The 1994 movie directed by Gordon Chan, who is also produced and wrote... Well, was the director of the original from 1994.
Right.
So, like, he was on board, basically wrote this movie as well as produced it.
Uh-huh.
And he described it as, obviously, Jet Li's Fist of Legend was Chen Zhen in his 20s. And Legend of the Fists is Chen Zhen in his 30s.
Uh-huh.
And basically, after doing this movie, he intends on not doing any more.
Uh-huh.
But I do think there's a huge apparent need for... Chen Zhen movies.
No.
Like, it is like a significant character in like Hong Kong, like in martial art movie history, because it was like a character made famous by Bruce Lee as like the fictional student of an actual person, like Hao Yunjai. Like,
yeah. A famous martial artist.
Yes, a legitimate real martial artist, and then they just came up with a fictional student who was exacting revenge on his behalf battling Japanese. So Donnie Yen had previously
Actually, no, I'm going right into my trivia, whereas I should actually be asking you, what did you think of the film?
I thought it was really good. A perfect, like, the story-wise, it could have been done better. Mm-hmm. Like, they made it too much about the...
It got a little complicated, I think. Like, following it at times, like, when every person popped up, it was a freeze frame and a fire special effect, and it's like, this guy's from this bit. Is it right? Try and remember that part. Huh. And then it's like, wait, he doesn't actually do anything. And it's just like, obviously, Donnie Yen's the Resistance, and all them basically trying to drive the Japanese out of Shanghai. Oh.
And the other I liked, just the way it was made, was a wee bit annoying to me.
Right.
They didn't go into depth about it as much as it should have, and they just concentrated more on get that kind of mask and here we fucking wire fight.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, aye, good film.
Aye. And they did, like, definitely sort of try to tie it in as, like, a true sequel, like, basically the evil Japanese general played by Kohata Ryu as Colonel Kiriyashi. And he was basically the son of what would basically be Billy Chow's character in Fist of Legends. Mm. Like, that Japanese general. This is basically his kids now are Japanese generals, and they've discovered that Chen Zhen is still in the scene, and
yeah,
basically...
revenge.
Aye. And they do, like, the wee neat trick where, basically, Yakuzuki Kurata in Fist of Legend was sort of like the elder Japanese general who Jet Li fought. And then in this story, they used him as basically being Billy Chow's character for this story. So it's sort of like just a wee connection between the two movies. They brought back a notable face to be a character for the past movie who was playing another character in that past movie. Mm. But, yes, it's... like, there was, like, the preconceived notion that this is supposed to be a bad movie. Like, a lot of folk weren't happy with the way it turned out. Even Donnie Yen himself wasn't happy, because I think there's an additional 10 minutes cut out of this movie. And basically it's talking scenes, like 10 minutes of discussions being cut out of it.
The director wanted it to
be a popcorn superhero movie.
Right.
And Donnie Yen wanted more. Like, drama. He wanted more substance to the movie. And, which is weird, you would think it would probably be the reverse thing. The director wants substance, and the action director wants style.
Yeah.
Like being a lead actor and a action director, you think it would just, like, oh, more action scenes, let's...
get me on the map a wee bit, man.
Mm-hmm. But, like, Donnie Yen is, like, basically the fucking Hong Kong action superstar of...
last 10 years.
Aye, and I think he is, like, still quite, like, the big deal in Hong Kong for
action
movies.
He's the biggest
thing
never to come out of Hong Kong.
Kinda, aye. Like, he's done his attempts. Like, he's made, like, a cameo appearance in...
Blade 2.
Highlander 4. He was, like, henchman number 4 or something. That... I don't know if it was Christopher Lambert at that stage still, or... but he was, like, the first guy that didn't make it, essentially. And
like,
he was...
did he not get his head chopped off as a bad guy?
Aye. And...
double-crossed.
Was he not, like, the snowman in Blade 2 or something? That was, like, the silly little code names they had for each other.
Aye.
And I guess, like, I think... I don't know if that is the movie he's still... most known for, like, according to IMDb, like, I think that's all down to who's voted the most on what, and of course, American movies will stand out over any of his Hong Kong work.
Yeah.
But, like, the dude has made it big over the years with, like, the early days of doing, like, Iron Monkey and the Tiger Cage movies, and now it's, like, his work with Wilson Yip and, like, SBL, Killzone, Flashpoint, Dragon Tiger Gate, and now more recently with, like, the period movies, like the Ip Man films. So
he's getting his cell about, he's not giving a fuck what year it is.
Exactly. And like this year alone he's doing like we're expecting like the Monkey King movie with him as the Monkey King. And the remake of the Iceman Cometh. That was like the 80s Yimbu time travel movie.
They get frozen fine.
And defrosted in the future.
It's like fucking
Demolition Man?
Aye. I was going to say.
Hong Kong Demolition Man, aye. So, it's basically that. And so he is like constantly, and I think even briefly looking on Twitter last night, they said he had signed on to do two other films, and like the man just doesn't have any days off. He's constantly churning out action movies, and I guess you've got to do it whilst you're still in shape. Like, but like for like the shirtless torture scenes, the fucking stark naked torture scenes from this movie, it's like it's probably just because it's like I look really good. Like let's just like I'll strip naked for this torture scene.
Yeah,
but
you should get my ass in it.
Aye, like oil me up before we do the torture. That's why they conduct the electricity when they're torturing me. They need lots of baby oil.
Yeah.
Make sure my hair's sitting right.
Oh.
But yeah, I did kind of enjoy it. Like it was weird because with him doing action, the action scenes I'd expected to be a lot like his other movies, where I think he does like for like SBL and Flashpoint and things like them, where I think he was the action director as well, and that was like a lot of like he incorporates like a lot of mixed martial arts into his movies and a lot of wrestling maneuvers, and the reason like that popped up in these movies, there's obviously constant references back to Bruce Lee because obviously this movie has a lot of fucking Bruce Lee references to it, and they use it in the sense that they're paying tribute to Bruce Lee. This is why he's got nunchucks and is doing the screams during the end fight, and or why he wears certain costumes, why he's wearing the white suit, why he's wearing the Kato. Like, it's not because like he's running around pretending to be Kato, it's just a reference. Like, it's just a prop from a movie, The Masked Warrior.
Masked Warrior,
aye. So they bring all these into this movie as tributes to Bruce Lee. And I think it might confuse folk thinking that Kato wasn't running about like in the 1920s fighting gangsters.
Yeah.
Like they've no cut out the Green Hornet, it's like Seth Rogen's not gonna come in for a cameo and get assassinated by a homeless man.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that the action kind of seems to be kind of rammed right up. Just like it seems like it's obviously really adrenaline paced, some wire work, and it just like the opening scenes when it like they're in France being shot by like the Germans,
the comicals,
and he's running and he does like it's like a wee Three Stooges where he's running about in a circle, and his body shouldn't be tilting down that far, but it was so he could do like a baseball slide into like a building. But as he slides under the building, he also managed to do a 360 spin in the air whilst holding knives, and it's like it's a little bit too far. Like you were running sideways so you could slide into the building. Fine, stop the slide and then crawl. And there's no need to do a fucking fancy little spin. And land on all four and then scuttle about. So it's weird, like some of his other movies is more realistic. This movie it seems to be taken up a notch. I reckon if it's just to give it that stylish element, and it might just
the superhero feel.
It's coming off as looking as like a little bit corny. Like when it comes to comparing him to superheroes, he is basically just being your Chinese Batman. Like, oh, okay, there's not the riches. Like, he is just a normal man put on a suit and using his natural born fucking fight, like, his skills to fight bad guys, dodge bullets. But other than that, like, that was obviously the director's vision, was to make your superhero popcorn movie and attract it towards that audience.
Yeah.
Because I think there's actually a note of it being described as it doesn't matter. But I did like it. It's just action could be a little bit ropey, and the story's not the best. There's like, it doesn't need to be that far, but now he's taking on the Japanese soldiers. Like before, it was just a rival school and things like that. It's,
it seems like taking on the army.
Aye, pretty much, and gets away with it. But it was good. Like all this stuff leading up to like the end, like basically when the Japanese forces are like going against like the resistance, and it's all kicking off, and basically everyone's expendable. Like characters you thought were safer are all of a sudden on the wrong side of a sword, and
yeah.
The fucking Japanese general's just taking out his own men.
Right.
Fucking furious chops and
kicks to the jaw.
Kicks to the jaw. Crying chop to the nose.
Oh, that was bad, that one.
It was like, would I have killed him? Or just like, I've got a really bad nosebleed. And,
you know,
I guess. It should have been an uppercut, that sense. But so, the cast of this movie includes, obviously, we do have Donnie Yen as Chen Zhen. We have Shuke as the club, as the hostess in the club Casablanca, ran by Anthony Wong's character. Obviously, Anthony Wong's well known for his movies. He's probably knocked it, maybe, I'm sure he's done at least maybe 100 Hong Kong movies by now. He's always been like a really active actor. He's went across the board and done everything for like your category 3 horror movies, and like we've known him as like Tai Fei for the Young and Dangerous movies, and Infernal Affairs, things like that. Like he is the he's a fucking workhorse. He's always acting in films. Hong Bo as Inspector Huang, and like that was like the common cold police chief.
The stupid cunt who fucking
Who basically does good in the end type of deal. Like he's been looked down
the
on by
to the white man.
The white skinned pig.
Yeah.
That was dogging down on him. He was, I've only seen him in one other movie, and that was the mainland movie Cow, where it was almost sort of like a road movie between the village idiot and the town's sacred cow. There's like a wee rural village, and basically they get all their milk from this cow. It's like the lucky, that's the town mascot, and basically war's going on and Japanese soldiers are looking for cows, and basically just so they could feed their troops,
so
and
an
things
Asian
like
war
that
horse.
Asian war horse. So it's a road movie between basically the village idiot and the town cow, and them just having a road movie together, encountering soldiers, getting the cow kidnapped by bandits, and they try and force the cow to mate with their cow, and they just have the cow hanging off this rope pulley system, and it's like a big swing just trying to force it into the back of their cow.
Oh, fuck.
It's just a big sex swing.
Fucking animals.
Aye. Again, Yakuza Ikarata playing the general in the flashback, and like he's appeared several times in like Hong Kong cinema. He was like one of the three assassins in Twinkle Twinkle Lucky Stars. You had like Richard Norton, Chung Fat, and Yakuza Ikarata. Sean Yu appeared as General Zeng, like the northern warlord that Chen Zhen, or the master, the masked warrior, saves from the assassins.
The North. It was like the two republics, the China or something like that.
Aye, where they were meeting for a hot pot.
Aye.
Where over here that would be like a pot noodle. But when it comes to like Chen Zhen and Donnie Yen, this is his actual second bite of the apple. He did previously star as Chen Zhen in like a TV series of it. So he had previously done that in 1995 as the televised adaptation from the Bruce Lee movie. So there was a little bit of backstory to it. Wasn't his first time to the dance, but the movie was on a budget of 120 million
Hong Kong dollars.
I think so. And it grossed 136 million.
Oh, profit.
Yeah, a little profit. And this came into like the disagreement between Donnie Yen and the director, Andrew Lyle, where Donnie said, with the changes they've made to this movie, the movie's not going to gross $200 million. Basically, him damning the project. And right enough, it did like come across, right, it didn't break away that much, but it did kind of get some decent international exposure. Like, it made, it was shown at out of competition on the opening night of the 67th Venice International Film Festival and the 2010 Toronto International Film Festival. So it did get shopped about, and it did get limited cinema releases like across here in the UK and in the States as well. So it got its exposure more than like the normal action Donnie Yen movie, which probably will earn itself a DVD release at least. Mm. But this did get pointed about a few festivals and put in cinemas. So, like, it's not a flop, essentially. Mm. When it comes to awards, it was nominated for 4 awards at the 2011 Hong Kong Film Awards. Didn't win any. It was nominated for Best Action, Best Costume, Makeup and Design, sound design, as well as best visual effects. So,
visual effects wouldn't be great
though. I did get a little bit ropey at times.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it did look like a decent, like, when like that, it looked like a stuntman being thrown off a balcony and falling through a rickshaw. Then it cuts to like a weird animation, it looks like somebody falling or while running backwards off a balcony.
Yeah.
It looked like they reused some bad stock footage of somebody falling. So, it, I guess it does earn that. And the weird landscape shots, which maybe just look like Donnie Yen standing on a giant green screen, and then they just put in 1920s Shanghai. Very glossy 1920s Shanghai. Always at sunset. So, it tried, and it didn't do amazing at the awards. Well, it didn't do any business at the awards. When it comes to the internet's response, IMDb deemed it 6.2 out of 10 based on 5,100 votes.
Oh, well, plenty of votes, anyway.
Aye. Rotten Tomatoes rated it 48% rotten based on 33 reviews.
Yeah.
So,
let's see where it's coming to.
Aye, it's not a complete pile of shit.
Yeah.
It's like somewhat a decent movie, but it's just like, action's a bit weird, the story's a bit over the shop, then some dodgy CGI, it doesn't come off looking stellar.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a good crack at it, I would say. Like, they tried, and it's not failed, but it's not a pass. Like, it was alright.
What do they usually write on your fucking papers when there's, like, room for improvement.
Yes. Even though this the writer's like, I'm finished. Fuck this. I'm out. So I think the only thing now for us is to rate it on our own scale.
Can't see this going very high.
So Andy, where?
I didn't put 4 below 3, do I?
Mm-hmm.
I thought 4 was the Pirates.
5 is the Pirates.
I like 5 better than 3.
Well, you can make that by putting wrong movies underneath it.
Right.
But, so, where are you going to put Legend of the Fist in your top 15?
Probably 14.
Really?
Yeah. It just wasn't put together good enough for it to be any higher. Yeah.
Alright.
Still looking how 5's at the bottom. So what's the point of time in China 5? I think you fucking tampered with my results.
As for me, I think I'll put it at number 11.
Fuck you.
I did prefer. Or did I like it better than Wu Chi? Did I like it better than Triad?
I know, it's a fucking That's why he finds it so far down the bottom, because everything we watched has been good.
Aye. Yeah, aye, which he was a better film. Okay. Legend of the Fist will go in at number 11 in my chart. That's it. Deemed and Scottish podcast on fire movie history.
Which in a very low rated movie.
Yes. Like, if you had to choose between that and Once Upon a Time in China 4, I'll give you Legend of the Fist. Sorry. So are you saying, I wouldn't watch either.
Oh, that was me saying, I'm an E. Fucking crap.
So, yeah. If you do want to prove us wrong and give this movie a spin, it is widely available on DVD and Blu-ray in the UK. Released from Metrodome, I believe. Because they had a fucking truckload of trailers on before this movie started.
Oh, supposed to tell you on a DVD quicker.
Metrodome, yes. Yeah. Part of the Epic Asia collection. And they've not released any more Asian movies since then. Cheers, Donnie.
You bitch.
So.
What?
I think we've covered, huh? Awards. Internet rating. Hour rating. Availability. So.
It's not really.
I guess we'll just have to turn it to the housekeeping.
Aye, you're okay.
Aye.
I've drawn that, it's my turn, zone it for a while.
Just lie down in the back. So, you could find us at podcastonfire.com, where we have, you can see the other side of the Podcast on Fire universe from Ken and Co. Bonus episodes include his recent discussion on Bloody Buns.
Yay. Your favourite kind of ass.
There's also a whole wheen of This Week in Sleaze.
Wheen.
Aye.
You can't say that. Nick accuses of that means a pair for Scottish folk.
Okay, there's lots.
That's better.
There's lots of sleaze to be on display. Well, by this point, you should have hopefully enjoyed our discussion on A Bittersweet Life and I Saw the Devil.
Yeah. You didn't, you're fools.
You're fools! Give us more numbers.
Let us win for a change.
Not that
fucking we're... Ken.
he's the golden child. It's not just because like he's blonde.
He only wins because he talks about sex and tits.
Excels.
I know.
We can't talk about that. We're both married. We can't watch those movies. What would our wives say? What would our children say? Well, what would your child say?
Fee.
Your child's the Fonz. So, we'll keep it simple. Twitter at Podcast on Fire. Facebook.com/POF Network. And that's it, really. There's nothing else.
No. Pretty downhearted attempt at a podcast this week.
Thanks, Donnie Yen.
You fucking loser.
Oiled up, fit bastards.
Fucking Asian Cliff Richard.
We'll cue the music.
Go on then.
I'm not going to start playing music. Like, dum 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 dum. Addicted to bass.
Yes.
Turn that shit off.
No! Oh, there we go. There you go, that's my answer.
I think I'll just go delete this.
I do.